I don't know you. I know a few people. So you got to get to know who I am, because otherwise you will just say, who is that person that came and spoke? Okay, I was saved at the age of 10 in the Barry Moore Crusade in Chilliwack, B.C. I grew up in a Christian home. I went off to Bible school, a place that you might, some of you might remember. It was called Burrard Inlet Bible Institute, which became Okanagan Bible Institute, which became Okanagan Bible College. Anybody remember that school? I was the first graduate of Okanagan Bible Institute in 1975. There were 12 of us graduates. Went on to Canadian Bible College, and that's where I met my wife, Gail, and I graduated in 1978. 1982, I started out on this journey of being a pastor, which I didn't think I just thought I wanted to be an assistant pastor. I didn't want to be a senior pastor. No, I didn't want to do that. But there was this opening for senior pastor of a small church in Alberta. And so in 1982, I began ministry with the Christian Missionary Alliance for 13 years. 11 years? 11 years. 12? I forget, 11. Then I moved and took a year of seminary at Regina at CTS, which is called the Canadian Theological Seminary. And then I went and moved to a different denomination, which I never thought I would do because I was born and raised with the Alliance, and that's the school that you always... But I found that there... I went with the Evangelical Free Church of Canada, and I served with them for 22 years. And then for the last 6 years, we've been serving as part-time pastor at Barrier at Bethany Baptist Church. I've worked with three different denominations and 9 churches. We're completing our 40th year. I'm part-time. Do you understand what that means? It's part-time. It's not full-time. And I'm enjoying this part-time ministry because that's what I thought I would do when I were kind of retired, was to do that. And so 3 weeks ago, we had a lady come visit our church. And she was visiting some people in our church, and I got talking to her and find out where she was from, this church. And we were coming to Vernon that weekend. And I said, oh, Jeremy and Jenna go to that church. Oh, okay, I got the connection now. And so we just greeted and said hi. And she said, we didn't have a pastor. And I said, oh, okay. So as I'm standing up in front preaching and leading, in my heart I says, you should offer to come and preach that Sunday morning that you're there on your weekend off. And I thought, oh, do I do that? And all through the service, I have this nugging in my heart that I need to ask her. So after the service, I went and asked her, you know, do you have anybody preaching that Sunday? She said, no. I said, well, I'd be willing. She said, really? I said, yeah, sure. So next day I got a phone call and said, yeah, you're on. So here I am. I really feel that was of God, that I should be here this morning. Because I have a heart. I feel for churches without pastors. I really feel for them. They don't have a shepherd. It's just really hard to be without a pastor. You need a shepherd. So whenever I've come in to be a pastor, the church has always been without a pastor for a while, right? So I've always come on the scene when they were without one in that transition, and I know what it feels like. They're so glad for the pastor to come, and they just are so glad to have a pastor. I know what that feels like. And I also know what the church feels like when a pastor leaves. It's not easy. It's not easy. So that's a little bit of background of why I'm here today. And I've been thinking for the last 2 weeks what I should share with you to encourage you this morning. That is what you need. More than anything, we need encouragement in the world that we're living with today. We need each other so much today. And for those who have been cut off because of COVID, they need you even more. We're living in days that we never thought we would ever, ever experience in our country. And so I don't know what you're prepared to face in the coming days. Remember this. God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. So times we face situations you think it's just too much for us to carry. So this morning I have, my topic is bear one another's burdens. Have you ever faced a situation you thought it was just too difficult? Ah, we all have. So as I'm thinking back and I'm just thinking, 10 years ago, there was a family, a couple, in Penticton. Their names were Albert and Rita Kretchen. They wanted to go down to the States with their motorhome. They left on March 19th, and you know what? They got stuck somewhere. Do you remember that? And he left the motorhome and went to look for some help, and it took months to find him, and she was left in that motorhome for weeks, and they finally found her. Why I know about that is because my sister and brother-in-law were with them the weekend before they left on a Friday night at Christmas at a banquet, and they left the next day to go. Wow! And then can you imagine, she came back and they were waiting, the family was waiting to find out, to hear if they found him. Can you imagine the emotional burden that they had waiting to find out, to hear what happened? The emotional strain was tremendous. One of the most difficult situations I've ever faced in ministry was about 16, 17 years ago in the church we were serving. Got a phone call one Monday morning that one of the young people was killed in a farming accident. He was 16 years old, and we were asked to go there, so I went there. And there was the other person who was working on the farm, and he showed me the body, and we waited for the ambulance to come. And then we had to go and tell the mom and dad. And you don't know what it feels like to get someone comes up and tells you your son is dead. And the expression on her face and the emotion that she had, I'll never forget. It was one of the hardest funerals I was ever to be at. Oh, that was painful. Burdens. What does it mean to you? It's a heavy, burdensome weight. Anything pressing on us physically, emotionally, could be something that was forced on by circumstances. Pain. It was pain that knocked upon my door and said she had come to stay, and though I would not welcome her, but bade her go away. She entered in, and like my own shadow, she followed after me, and from her stabbing, stinging sword, no moment was I free. You and me had at the present moment experiencing some pain in your life. You did not ask it to come, but it's there. It hasn't gone away. What is your response to this situation? What does the Bible have to say about these very difficult situations? So this morning I got three kinds of burdens that we face. The one is unfair burdens. They're unfair. And there's a verse that we have, Luke 11:46. I want to read this verse. My text will come in Galatians chapter 6 in just a minute. Luke 11:46. Jesus replied, "Are you experts in the law? And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves do not lift one finger to help them." Folks, sometimes people put on burdens on us, and they're unrealistic expectations. Unfair demands, and it's very hard to recognize them. Have you been living with an unfair expectation on your life because your mom and dad or somebody said you had to do such and such and you could not live up to that? And you tried and you tried and you tried and you just never succeed. Do you know how many people in life have going through with these unfair expectations of how they're supposed to live or what they're supposed to do? Oh, it's really, really hard. Or maybe you comparing yourself to a brother or sister or somebody else. You're carrying a burden on your shoulder that's unfair. God will only give you a burden that you can carry. And you say, Pastor Vic, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I know that God knows what you're going through. And if you've got some physical health issue, God knows about that. There's a reason for it. You know, Paul, he prayed 3 times for that thorn in his flesh to be removed. 3 times he prayed, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So if you've got a health issue that's you've been with you for a while, God knows about that. And maybe through that, you can be a blessing to others. You know that? Your physical problem that you have can be a blessing to others if you would just see it that way. I'm sure that Johnny Erickson Tata never dreamed when she dove into that pond that day in 1967 and became a quadriplegic in the wheelchair for the rest of her life. And she's still in that wheelchair today, serving the Lord. How difficult it must be for her, and many times she wanted to get out of it. And she's still serving God, Johnny, and friends. So if there's been some accident you had, God knows that. There's a story of this person is walking up the hill with this wagon, and God's placed those rocks in the wagon. Those are your burdens. And you're going up the hill, and you're taking those burdens that God has given you, and you're going up the hill. But someone comes along and says, oh, that's nice. I got a rock. You want to carry this rock for me in that wagon? You put a rock in there, and now you're carrying someone else's burden. And you keep going, and someone else comes along and says, could you carry this burden? Oh, I guess I can. Pretty soon, your wagon's getting fuller and fuller of rocks, and you can't make it up the hill. See, those rocks that somebody puts in there are maybe not the rocks you should be carrying. But someone else says, you got to help me. Folks, we know to know when how much you can handle and when you need to say no. You know, there's a book called Boundaries. Do you know what boundaries are? We need to have boundaries in our life. Sometimes you need to give boundaries to your kids, your adult children. It's hard to be tough love. It's hard. We've done that in our own family. It is tough. But I can't carry their burdens for them. They have to learn to carry their own. So there's the unfair burdens. Be careful of the man-made rules that we hear from people. Pastors, preachers can give you, you got to do thus, 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 thus. You got to read your Bible X amount of time a day, and you got to be praying this many hours a day or minutes or whatever. Don't let somebody else with their unrealistic expectations be put on you. So that's the unfair burdens that are placed on us. And God never asked us to carry somebody else's burden, just ours. Just ours. And you look at somebody else who's got more burdens to carry than you, then God knows why he's given it to them and not to you. Okay. Spiritual burdens. Galatians chapter 6, 1 to 10. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Paul's writing to the church at Galatia. He's writing to Christians. When a brother or sister is overtaken, caused to stumble, fall, we need to pick them up. Not criticize. Not point fingers. We must not look down on that person who has stumbled, because it could happen to all of us. We must have a humble attitude in the midst of these situations. Carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If someone's really struggling and he comes to you, could you pray for me? And spiritually, I carry that burden into the Lord. And you know what I do when I bring it to the Lord? I leave it there. You don't take it with you and carry it with you. Oh, carrying that burden is like carrying somebody else's rocks in your wagon, and it gets heavier and heavier. We have to learn to bring the burdens, the cares, and bring it to the Lord and to leave it there. And then the next day you pray for it and you give it to Him. But boy, we don't want to keep carrying those burdens with us all the time. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves, he says in Romans 15. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Romans 15 tells us we should look and see the ones who are the newer Christians, the ones who are the weaker one. And we need to be understanding. God knows how much you can handle, and sometimes the cross you are called to carry may seem too hard. God never makes a mistake. I believe He is sovereign in our lives. And there are things that have happened to me when I was younger. Wow! Some of it, my own mistakes, my own foolishness, I pay for that. Some other things happen out of my control. God knows how much we can handle. So there's the spiritual burden, and then there's the emotional or physical burdens. There's a man in the Bible that I don't understand completely. I've never gone what he's gone through. But then I'm not him, am I? His name is Job. He went through a lot. He was, if you read Job 1 and 2, he had lots. He had plenty. He had a family. And in one day he lost it all. Through a number of circumstances, and the enemy was behind it, as you read the story. And then his wife says to him, what? Curse God and die. Give up on your God. And he says, you're talking like a foolish woman. He held to his faith in a sovereign God, even though he didn't understand, he couldn't see. All he could feel was the pain in his body. There are folks who, when the burdens or trials become too difficult, they give up on God. You know them? In your community, in your world, in your family, something has happened. I guarantee you, probably if some loved one has died, maybe real young, they don't understand. You know what they do? They blame God. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things. He really does. As the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die. Each one of us is going to die. Do you know that? We're all going to die. Some of us are just a little closer there than others. We all are. Are you ready? If you're ready to meet God, then great. You would welcome the homecoming. So Job has lost everything. His wife said, curse God and die. And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say that in your life? The Lord has taken away maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a dear friend, a grandma, whoever it is. Can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Can you still give thanks? That's what God asks from us. Whatever your loss in life is, maybe it's a job. Lord, thank you. You know what I'm going through? I don't understand. Oh, the hardest thing for me is being asked to leave a church. You know, it's nice when the pastor says, I'm leaving. I'm going on to a different ministry. That's good for him. But boy, to be asked by the church, it's time to leave when you don't think it is. Oh, you feel rejected. Boy. We've been there twice. We know what it feels like. It was hard. You almost want to give up. But I remember as I was young in ministry, I saw a lot of pastors. They start, they do well, and then they change to some other ministry, some other job, some other career. And I said to myself, I don't want to be one of those. I want to stay. So I'm going to preach until I can't preach any longer. I want to encourage people. And then they had some friends. Job had some friends that came, and they came and they sat there for 7 days, and they said what? Nothing. That was good. They didn't say anything. You had somebody come there and just wanted to be with you. There's a little boy that went across neighbors because they had lost. There was a death in the family, and the little boy went over there, and he came back, and his mom said, what did you do over there? I did nothing. I just sat in their lap and cried. And that's what people need when they're going through something. They just need to be there and to cry with them. We don't need to go there with all the answers of why this happened and bring God into the picture. Because they are really, really struggling. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hey, does God give us burdens? Yes, but they're light. They're not heavy, because he knows how much we can handle. When we are trusting him and when we have the right attitude, then we will see it from his perspective, or try to, rather than from ours. Right now, I don't understand what's happening in our world, but I know it's God is allowing it. It's from the enemy, I think. The enemy is trying to divide the church. We need to stick together. We do. It's dividing families. We need to stick together. Even though we may not agree on everything, we need to stick together. You know, we're having a discussion in our church about which translation to use. I ask Jeremy's brother to come and read the scripture. He likes to read. One of his brothers. But he tries different translations than I'm preaching from. And somebody says, I can't follow him. I've been using the NIV for 30 plus years. It's really hard to change. I'm having a hard time changing to another translation. I may look at other translations, have verses from other translations. And he uses different ones. But we're trying not to make that an issue in the church. God wants us to come to him when the burdens get too heavy. We do not have to carry them alone. He wants us to humble ourselves, and he will help us carry the load. February 15th, 1947, Glenn Chambers boarded a plane bound for Quito, Ecuador, to begin his ministry in missionary broadcasting. He never arrived. In a horrible moment, the plane carrying Chambers crashed into a mountain peak and spiraled downward. Later, it was learned that before leaving the Miami airport, he wanted to write a letter to his mother. All he could find for stationery was a page of advertising on which was written the single word, why. And around that word, he scribbled a note. And his mother learned of her son's death. His letter arrived. She opened the envelope, looked out the paper, unfolded it, and before her was the word, why? And that's what a lot of people think of when a tragedy happens. Why? And we should say, what do you want to teach us, God? What can I learn? Because, folks, you're not going to get the answers to the why on this earth. You may never get the answer to the why. You may never. You need to trust God. It was due to the efforts of Samuel Plimsoll, British reformer, that the Merchant Shipping Act of 1876 was passed, requiring all ships to bear a mark known as the Plimsoll Mark, indicating the maximum load line that a ship could carry. By this act, the Board of Trade of England empowered to detain any vessel deemed unsafe, and the amount of cargo was restricted, thus making the long and perilous ocean voyage of those days much safer. Because of his work, Plimsoll became known as the sailor's friend. The mark with its graduations and figures may be seen on the bow of ships near the waterline as they lie at anchor in the harbor. You've seen those lines? It's there to know how much they can carry and what's safe and what's not safe. In God's sight, each of us has a similar mark that we may not be able to see. The burdens and responsibility he gives may seem unbearable. He knows our limit. He knows our limits, how much we can handle the mark. He will not give it where it's too much. Folks, we're here. I'm glad to be here. We need each other. We need each other very, very much to help us carry the load of what we're facing. Sometimes you just need to talk to a friend. My best friend is my wife. We've been married for 43 years. We've been in ministry 40 years. She is my partner and team member in ministry. I would not be here if it wasn't for her. She plays the piano, and I lead the singing. We've been doing that for 40 years. It's wonderful to be able to work together in ministry. A horse pulling a contest in a country fair, the first place horse moved a sled weighing 4,500 pounds. The runner-up horse pulled 4,000 pounds. The owners of the two horses wondered how much the animals could pull if they worked together. They hitched them up and loaded the sled. To everyone's surprise, the horses were able to pull 12,000 pounds. To sometimes in the Lord's work, we try to pull the weight all by ourselves. However, when we team up with others, we work with greater efficiency and we can accomplish so much more. Let's work together. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for the burdens you place upon us are just the right amount. Your burden is light. Thank you for the people that are here, for what they're facing. Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged to know that God is with us. No matter what we're facing in our world, no matter what circumstances we face, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's hold on to that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.